Everyone I know has a fine big sedan, Mrs. Levy said as she got into the little car. Not you, no. You have to own a kid's car that costs more than a Cadillac and blows my hair all around. To prove her point, a lacquered strand flew stiffly out in the breeze as they roared out onto the coast highway. Both were silent during the journey through the marshes. Mr. Levy nervously considered his future. Mrs. Levy contentedly considered hers, her aquamarine lashes flapping calmly in the wind. At last they roared into the city, Mr. Levy's speed increasing as he felt himself getting closer to the Riley kook. Hanging around with that crowd in the quarter, goodness only knew what Riley's personal life was like. One crazy incident after another, insanity upon insanity.
I think I've finally analyzed your problem, Mrs. Levy said when they slowed down in the city traffic. This wild driving was the clue. A light has dawned. Now I know why you've drifted, why you don't have any ambition, why you've thrown a business down the drain.
Mrs. Levy paused for effect.
You have the death wish.
For the last time today, shut up.
Fighting, hostility, resentment? Mrs. Levy said happily.
It will all end very badly, Gus.
Because it was Saturday, Levy Pants had ceased its assaults upon the concept of free enterprise for the weekend. The Levys drove past the factory, which, open or closed, looked equally moribund from the street. Weak smoke of the type produced by burning leaves rose from one of the antennae of smokestacks. Mr. Levy pondered the smoke. Some worker must have left one of the cutting tables sticking in a furnace on Friday evening. Someone might even be in there burning leaves. Stranger things had happened. Mrs. Levy herself, during a ceramics phase, had once commandeered one of the furnaces for a kiln. When they had passed the factory and Mrs. Levy had gazed at it and said, "Sad, sad," they turned along the river and stopped before a dazed-looking wooden apartment building across from the Desire Street wharf. A trail of scraps beckoned the passerby to climb the unpainted front steps toward some goal within the building.
"Don't take too long,"
Mrs. Levy said, while she was going through the heaving and lifting process that was necessary to remove one's body from the sports car. She took with her the sampled box of Dutch cookies that had originally been intended for the patient at Mandeville.
"I've just about had it with this project. Maybe she'll keep busy with the cookies and I won't have to try to make much conversation."
She smiled at her husband.
"Good luck with the idealist. Don't let him play another trick on you."
Mr. Levy sped off uptown. At a stoplight, he looked at Riley's address in the morning newspaper, folded and stored in the well between the bucket seats. He followed the river on Chupatulus and turned at Constantinople, bouncing along in Constantinople's potholes until he found the miniature house. Could the huge kook live in such a dollhouse? How did he get in and out of the front door?